Let me tonight invite you over to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 reads this way, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Lord, we thank you again for the privilege of gathering together as your people. And Lord, to the privilege we have to call upon you and to ask you to bless your word. Open up our hearts and minds that we might hear from you. Strengthen the faith that you've given to us. Allow us, Lord, to be the witnesses you've called us to be of your great grace and glory. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, the title of the message was, if we can get through them, four truths about the Lord's church. Four simple truths, really, about the Lord's church. First of all, church succession, that's the first one, or church perpetuity is what we call it. And then we want to see the three basic segments of the family of God, the kingdom of God, and the church of God. And then why the church did not start on Pentecost. Why the church did not start on Pentecost. And fourthly, what constitutes the Lord's church? What constitutes the Lord's church? Is the church important in the heart and mind of the Lord Jesus Christ? Absolutely. He gave his blood for it. The Bible tells us that in the book of Acts, that he gave his blood for it. He died for sinners, but he instituted the local New Testament church. So let's just talk for a moment here about church succession or church perpetuity. We don't believe that there's an unbroken chain from church to church from the foundation of the Lord's local New Testament church when he started his church right here with his disciples. We're going to see that here in just a moment on the shores of Galilee. I do happen to have a Scofield Bible. C.I. Scofield, he was a lawyer who got saved, and I think the Lord did some very wonderful things with him, but he is off on the church. He does not understand the local New Testament church. He believes the church started on the day of Pentecost. Now, I will tell you this also. I am sure there are things that I maybe have missed, but one thing that I can see for sure, and I think you'll see it tonight as well, is where the local New Testament church started. On the shores of Galilee. It's important for God's people to know what a true church is, what his church is, and that it is still here. Jesus Christ here said that the gates of hell, the governments of hell, would never prevail against it. So if he started his church right there with his disciples, and we're going to see that here in just a moment, then it stands to reason that it is still in existence. We believe in what we call today the Baptist doctrine. What does that mean? Well, we believe in baptism for believers that have trusted the Lord by immersion, right? That will set us apart quite a bit with a lot of other ideas of what groups call themselves to be churches that are not churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. Constantine the Great, I think somewhere around 317, somewhere around that era, started the Universal Church, which is today called the Catholic Church, which is basically just a conglomerate of Old Testament priesthood mixed up with supposedly Christianity, but they have everything wrong because Jesus did not say here that Peter was the first pope. He did not say that. That's what they believe. They believe in a work salvation. Now, I don't wish them any ill will, but there's a bigger problem with them because they don't even understand salvation by grace through faith. That's where it all begins. That separates us, all right? But anyway, when we talk about church succession, what we believe as a body of believers, and here's something that's important. Let the Lord bring you to it. You might say, Brother George, I don't know if I fully understand that. That's okay. You don't have to believe or understand everything right away. I didn't when I first got saved. It was a growing experience, okay? My pastor would say, now the First Baptist Church of Corinth, and I'm like, how do you know?
How do you know? Well, it's the doctrines. It's the believing of the ordinances of the church. You know, baptism and the Lord's Supper. These are the ordinances. This is what they practice. This is what they preach. And the Lord said that they would remain all the way, world without end here, and also that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. So somewhere at all times since the beginning of the church, somewhere on planet Earth, there was a large local New Testament church. Now, I don't believe that the name Baptist says you're the Lord's local New Testament church, because I've walked into Baptist churches that do not practice or believe what the scriptures teach. And that's why, you know, some of the history, they were called Anabaptists, that rebaptizers. It was a derogatory name. It was a negative connotation to that, because they were leading people to the Lord that were part of the universal church. And the Catholic Church did not like that. And they were the ones really that were persecuting a lot of the believers and having them killed because they were believing that there's no hierarchy. Salvation is by grace through faith. And once somebody put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, then they were baptized and they were added to the church. But this was a voluntary thing. This was something that they saw in the Word of God and followed suit with that. And so it's not something that's forced. It's something that's understood, and then we follow that faith that was delivered unto the saints. So church succession, it's not like a pope. One pope is getting ready to die, so they elect a new pope. Or it's not like the crown, right, where the prince takes over after the king, or the princess takes after the queen, or whatever. You know what I'm saying? That's not the kind of succession that we're talking about. But God said, because God said that there was going to be a church throughout all the ages, world without end, and that it would glorify the Lord, I believe that his church has been on planet Earth since he started it. Simple enough. Can I point you to all the churches? No, I can't. Just be up front. But the Lord said that there was going to be churches. When he started it, they would never go out of existence. That's enough for me to believe it. Now, I cannot point you to every one that's a church, but I can tell you it's important for us to know what we believe. And if we ever leave this place, that we unite with a biblical Bible teaching church. That's important. That believes that the Lord started the church on the shores of Galilee, not on Pentecost. There's big problems with believing, and there's a lot of people that believe that the church started on Pentecost. I will tell you, there are people that believe that call themselves Baptists that believe that the church started on the day of Pentecost. And there's a problem with that. We'll look at that here in just a moment. So church succession, church perpetuity, means that when the Lord said, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell are not going to prevail against it, that it's been in existence ever since. I can show you some of them that adhere to the Anabaptists, the Waldenses, the Novations, the different names throughout history. And basically, those names were just names that was the pastor, typically, a lot of times. And so they said, we're following the teachings that come from the Word of God, but this happens to be our pastor. And so it kind of picked up their name. But it was the biblical doctrine that they were adhering to that made the difference. But here's what I want you to understand, and I think this will kind of maybe alleviate some understanding. If you are saved, you are, in other words, You trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Guess what? You've been put and placed into the family of God. Now, you may not be in the church of God. I wasn't in the church of God for probably about a year or so. But I was in the family of God. And that is the main thing right there. We want to follow the Lord in scriptural baptism. We want to follow the Lord and honor the Lord in His church. But the most important thing concerning your soul is that you know the Lord as your personal Savior. Once that takes place, I think if you're seeking the truth, God's going to lead you to it. So you're in the family of God. And by the way, all those who've ever been saved are in the family of God throughout all time. By the way, there's also the kingdom of God. All those also who have ever been saved are in the kingdom of God as well. Guess what? Listen, even those who have died as infants are in, before the age of accountability, are in the family of God as well. So if an infant dies or someone dies that does not understand, sometimes there's people for mental abilities or whatever, do not understand, they are what we call safe in the Lord. And so I believe they're in the family of God, they're in the kingdom of God, but the church of God is something different, and that is what he's left here on planet Earth to propagate and share the word of God that souls might be saved. And so let's take a look at that. So very quickly, there's church succession. That's the first truth. And so it does perpetuate, but it doesn't follow succession like the popes or like a king would. But God sees to it that his church has been on planet Earth. And by the way, listen, so succeeding one. So one pope descends the throne. I don't know what they call it, but descends, and then the next one is placed as the pontiff or whatever on the chair there, right? Well, Jerusalem was the Lord's, and Jerusalem was the local New Testament church. Through persecution and the propagation of the gospel, many churches came out of that Jerusalem church, didn't it? Jerusalem church was still in existence, and so were all these other churches. They were their own autonomous, self-governing bodies of believers, complete representation. One church wasn't a leg and another church wasn't an arm, and we don't believe in this universal church idea, which is what the name Catholic really means, and it really it's not a biblical teaching. So very quickly here we have church succession or perpetuity, that and the Lord said he would see fit to that. Then we also, in the scriptures, you'll find the family of God, you'll find the kingdom of God, and you'll find the church of God. All the saved are in the family of God and in the kingdom of God. But when it comes to the church of God, that's something a little bit different. And what I wanted, the last two thoughts here, is why the church did not start on Pentecost. Now, here's a problem with it. First of all, any church that started on Pentecost or after is too late to receive the Great Commission from our Lord that ended in the Gospels. That was, remember, he told the disciples, that was the church. If he just told it to the apostles, then that great commission that we believe is given to the church died with the apostles, because the church hadn't been in existence yet, if it happened on Pentecost. Does that make sense? No way could it have started the day of Pentecost. Remember, wait for me, and then you will receive what? Power. It was the empowering of the church with the Holy Spirit. But they were already saved, baptized believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The church was already in existence, so it didn't start on the day of Pentecost, or the Great Commission is null and void to the church. So thus it follows really that biblically, as we look at the Bible, that the commission comes from the Lord in the Gospels, and if the church started after the Gospels or on Pentecost, then basically it has no commission from our Lord to do anything for our Savior, and it must be a human institution. And there are a lot of human institutions. Now, in those human institutions, they can be people that are in the family and in the kingdom of God, but they're not in the church of God. So, for example, but by the way, listen, it talks about the mother of harlots in the scripture, and we really believe that's And I'm not trying to be offensive here. Let me explain this. Harlot is kind of a harsh word, but it's a biblical word. The mother of harlots is a body, is a professed church where a lot of children are born out of that. Now, what happened during the Protestant Reformation? They were protesting the Catholic Church that was already wrong. And so they came out of that. And they were trying to make it right, but that didn't work out. So they started their own churches. They will tell you, Protestants will tell you, that they started with the Protestant Reformation in 1517. So if they can tell you the Pentecostal movement started in the early, I think, 1920s or so, and I think Wigglesworth was one of the big promoters of that. So if there's a man's name and a date that's after the shores of Galilee, pretty much you're looking at a human institution and not the Lord's local New Testament church. I think they'll freely tell you where they started from. If you tell them, what's the history of your church? Say, I go to this church. I'm part of the Church of God. They'll tell you where they started. What's the Campbell? I can't remember. He was a spinoff. Came out of the Baptist church and went south, really, and started his own church. And they're the ones that believe you can lose your salvation, but you have to have baptism for salvation. That's part of your salvation, and I can't remember who they are right now. But anyway, there are churches that teach that, and they try to say that they're part of the real church, but they'll tell you that they started after the day of Pentecost or on the day of Pentecost. So that's one of the ideas. Now, what is it that constitutes the Lord's church? And here's what's really important. The first thing that constitutes the Lord's church is that we have to have the gospel. This is important. And then you have to have baptized believers. Can you be part of the church without being baptized? Okay, you can't. So let me show you something. Go over to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And so what's going on here? They're getting together here, the disciples. This is before Pentecost, by the way. The Lord did tell them in Acts 1:8 that they're going to receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon them. And then they're going to be witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. But here's what I want you to see here. In Acts chapter 1, look at verse 21. This is a church meeting, by the way, a church business meeting, and they have gotten together to replace Judas in the church. You're going to see this here in just a moment, and notice what happens here in Acts chapter 21. Wherefore of these men, which of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went out in and among us, right? So what does that mean? During the Lord's earthly ministry, that's who the candidate has to. In other words, this is the criteria for the candidate to replace Judas. He had to have accompanied with them. Now watch this. Verse 22, beginning from the baptism of who? John. That means all the disciples were disciples of who before the Lord? John. They were baptized. All of them were baptized by John the Baptist. So verse 22 again, he says, beginning. So wherefore of these men? Who are the ones that have the qualifications? Well, they've got to be the same qualifications that God gave us. And so what is that? Beginning from the baptism of John, verse 21, unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And of course, they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias, and at the end, Matthias wins. But this is the first church business meeting. They're getting together, and a lot of people say, oh, they got in front of the Lord. The Lord never rebuked them for doing this. Paul was one out of due season. He'll tell you that. And there was a special calling on the Apostle Paul's because they thought they have to have the special number 12, and Paul would have made 13. The Lord did not rebuke them for doing what they did here. Not only that, but they had to be organized. And guess what? The Lord's church during his earthly ministry had even a treasurer. Now, you know, he was a bad treasurer, but he was an exception, I really think, okay? So there was organization there. They had the head of the church, these body of believers here, this church, and that was, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. They had the ordinance of baptism. And let me ask you this, had they observed the Lord's Supper? Have these disciples here observed the Lord's Supper? Did they observe the Lord's Supper? They did. They did. And so they all observed the Lord's Supper. Did they have the Great Commission? Did God tell them, go ye therefore into all the world? This was before Pentecost, wasn't it? That he told them this, gave them the Great Commission. They met together as a church for prayer preceding Pentecost, did they not? They had prayer meetings. Didn't they get together? In fact, didn't one time the disciples ask the Lord, show us how to pray? Didn't they do that? And again, they had this business meeting here and selected Matthias to take Judas's place. But let's go back over to the book of Matthew. And by the way, while you're right here in Acts chapter 1, let's look at something here. Here's the day of Pentecost in chapter 2. You're right there in the book of Acts. You know, the Lord is doing some wonderful things there. But ultimately, and you've probably seen this before, look at verse 41. And this is still chapter 2. This is still the day of Pentecost. They had received the gift of the Holy Ghost. The church, this is the church already in existence. Verse 41, then they that gladly, verse 41, received his word were baptized. They already had the authority to baptize. And the same day there were what? added. How can you add to something that doesn't exist? They were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So the church was already in existence. Let's go back to the book of Matthew just for a moment. Matthew chapter 16. And this is important because I'm afraid a lot of God's people, and it's not your fault. I think it's maybe the fault of us as pastors. We don't teach this often enough, and we forget these things. So the Lord speaking to his disciples, he says something that's really important here in Matthew 16, verse 15. He saith unto them, his disciples, but whom say ye that I am? This is important. The church needs to know who the Lord is. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Did that really happen? So if it did really happen, so the Lord already, the Heavenly Father was already intervening and blessing the church and giving wisdom and opening up truth. He gave this answer that God gave him. And Jesus was pointing it out. You know, it's really hard to differentiate and to distinguish. Remember I shared with you in the past, you'll find the reference to the Holy Spirit in the New Testament many times in lowercase. And what you'll see is because the Spirit of man and the Spirit and the Holy Spirit of God are intertwined and should be intertwined so that you cannot distinguish the one from the other. That's the life of Christ in the believer. That was not just for Paul. That was for us also. Because there's going to come times in our life where the Bible tells us that you don't listen. You're not going to need to have to think about the answer. God's going to give you the answer. How's he going to do that? Because he indwells us. In John chapter 15, Jesus was really emphasizing that he's in the Father, the Father's in him, and that the Godhead is in the believer as well. And that's over time and time again. So back to the idea of the church here. This is what's happening here. The Lord's working in the life of Peter. And verse 18, and he says, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, and now this is Petros, little rock, and this is when he says, I'm going to build my church upon this rock, it's Petra talking about himself. And this is where, if we don't go back to the original language in this particular case, And listen, the original language is important because it makes a distinction. Otherwise, we just see the same word rock. And so it's important that we understand because it differentiates because it's an exact language that the Lord was talking about himself. The Petra, the big rock, I'm going to build my church, and that's dome up, and the gates of hell, the foundation's already been laid, shall not prevail against it. Now, we're going to look at one more thing concerning the church, and that's right here still in Matthew, and go over, if you will, to chapter 18. Now, just a little while after he's telling them about the church and building the church, he says this to them, Matthew chapter 18, and he says this in verse 11, for the Son of Man is come to save that which is lost. Is that a church doctrine? Yeah, all this is church doctrine here. How think ye if a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. So he's concerned about the little ones, is he not? Okay, now this is important. Because he's not changing any stream of thinking right here. And listen to what he says now. He doesn't want any of the little ones to be offended. He doesn't want any of the little ones to be lost. And then he says this, moreover, that means like on top of what you just heard, right? Continuing the same thought, moreover, on top of what you just heard, because God's not willing that we lose any of the sheep, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go tell him his fault. Is God trying to make restitution here? Is God trying to teach us how to keep peace? All right. Go tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But That's a conjunction, right? We're still going on. If he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the what? Well, it sure does sound like the church is already in existence. He didn't say go tell it to the future church that's not here yet. He says tell it to the church like it's right there. Do you see that? It is in the Gospels. Tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, he didn't say the future church, did he? He didn't say the church is going to come in on the day of Pentecost. That's a fiction in the mind of man. And so if they cannot see that basic fundamental church doctrine, then it doesn't cause us to wonder why they miss it and think it's on Pentecost or some other movement or what have you. If it has the title of a man's name, it's not the Lord's local New Testament church. Is it my church? Is this the church of George Janshall? You better leave it right away if it is. Or any man's name. Is it the Lutheran church? Well, then you missed the Lord's church. Whatever name it might be called, listen, we believe we are part of the, and we believe that the Bible teaches that God taught that he started his church on the shores of Galilee, and he said he would keep it all the way till he returns. And by the way, he also, remember what the Lord said? He said, I instituted the Lord's Supper. Remember he told them? And he says, I want you to do this until I come again. So if he told them, he's telling the church. So he started the church there. He's given them the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. I want you to keep this till I come again. How could the church start on Pentecost when he told the disciples while he was on earth, this is he told them what it was. This is my body. This is my blood. This is what's representing my body and my blood. As often as you do this and remember, and then he says, I want you to do it until I come again, until I drink it anew with you in the kingdom. So that was the Lord's ordinance there on earth. You see, listen, that's the importance. And I promise you, and I'm not here, listen, there are people that are genuinely saved. They're in the family of God. They're in the kingdom of God. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they're in the church of God. And that's what's important. I'm not trying to elevate myself. All I'm trying to do, or elevate what we believe, or I'm just trying to keep what God has said. And he did not say that I started my church on the day of Pentecost. He did say he empowered it on Pentecost. Do you see the difference? And so as you read the Word of God, the Lord's church is very important to him. It's going to make up his bride, and he gave himself for it. And so we ought to be careful, and we ought to be on guard also and realize the difference. There are people that are in a family of God that are not in the right church, but they're still brothers and sisters in Christ. If they believe that Jesus Christ died for their sins and that's alone what they're believing in, they're children of God. They're brothers and sisters in Christ. And I will be patient, long-suffering, and kind to them. And because I can't bring them, I can share. If they're interested and if they're looking, I can open up the Word of God and show them that. And then here's how I leave it. Ready? Now you decide. I'm doing the same thing tonight. You don't have to receive this tonight. What I've just shared, this is your choice. Because if I made you do it, it's not your choice. That's not the way God works. By the way, I didn't understand it when I first got saved. And I'm understanding it to a greater degree after 30 years of salvation. So if I'm still learning more about it, stands to reason everybody can learn more about it. And here's the thing. What unites us as believers is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the family of God. Does that make sense? The church of God is important, and I will strive to maintain the purity of the church. But I'm also aware of people believing in the Lord Jesus Christ that maybe haven't come to that understanding yet or what have you, that are in the family of God, that are brothers and sisters in Christ, that I don't want to blow out of the water, that I'm going to share the truth in love, and I'm not trying to make distinctions and separate, but there is, Jesus made the difference in the church. Does that make sense? But it's important that we see it. You see it tonight, right? At least you know this. The Lord said, I'm giving it to my church. And if you have a problem, tell it to the church. And then I've given you the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, and I want you to keep it until I return. Think about me when you do it, and remember me, and keep doing it until I return, right? And then I'm going to give you the Great Commission. Go ye therefore into all the world. That was all before Pentecost. And if that was just to the disciples, and all that the Lord gave to the disciples died with them and not to the church, because it's not in existence. He didn't give it to the church. He gave it to the apostles. That's not the Bible. That is a fiction in the mind of men. Everything he gave to the church. Here's it in a nutshell. Ready? The church doctrine you'll find in the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In the epistles, you will find the further clarification and explanation of those truths. That's a good way to look at it. In the book of Acts, you've heard this probably before, is the church in action, right? After it's been empowered. That's a good place to be. All of that dovetails and fits together. But may we, at least at Northwood Baptist Church, have an understanding of the family of God, of the kingdom of God, and of the church of God. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for each one here tonight. Lord, I thank you for the attentiveness to the importance of your body of believers, the local New Testament church. And Lord, I pray that we would not look at that in any way but to honor and glorify you and to share the truth and understand the truth in a greater way. Bless the rest of the time as we break off for prayer. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.